So, Father, give us grace as we seek to understand this passage for today. Amen.
Friends, what, I wonder, does your social media posting tell you about the things that you want the world to know about? Those of you in church regularly, how much of your posting history reveals anything about your faith? We had in our Bible reading, no one lights a lamp and then hides it. Just like nobody has a baby and tells nobody. I quote you this from May the 24th last year. It's a Facebook post by 1D McLeish. So last Sunday, 15th, I was settling down for a chilled evening at home. But this little one, like her big sister 4.5 years ago, had other ideas. Jasmine Eliza was born at 9:36 p.m. on the 15th of May, weighing in at 6 pounds 10 ounces. Since then, we've been discharged, returned due to jaundice, then sampled many of the facilities at Medway Maritime Hospital, that is, including the neonatal ICU for monitoring. But after an emotional roller coaster ride, we were finally discharged for a second time yesterday. In other words, I would have posted sooner about the new baby, but it's been a difficult week. And that's the new baby on the left. Besides, okay, it's been a week, but besides, all the most important people in Debbie and Marlon's life knew already that Jasmine had been born. Way before that post, which was when Jasmine was already 9 days old. But since then, the world has been treated to pretty much monthly updates since then, which, can I say, is both very restrained, but also very organised. As a dad of three boys, I'm not convinced that we manage many, take that as code for hardly any, photos of the second or third child in those early weeks and months. We were in basic survival mode, I seem to recall. Again, Jesus said no one lights a lamp and hides it. And that post of Debbie's went on and said thank you to family and friends across multiple time zones who have been praying. Not just was there that great announcement, but there was that recognition that actually God's intervention was asked for and hoped for and prayed for in the life of this young lady. And doesn't she look amazing? And she's here today. But Jesus said, as we just talked about, he went on and said, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, for me, knowing Jesus is better than watching a baby grow. Knowing Jesus is better than any human relationship. Knowing Jesus is better than all the fame or fortune that we might have on this earth. Because knowing Jesus means that we can have peace with God and thus peace within ourselves. Knowing Jesus means we live not for the glories of this world, but for the glory of God. Now, this Bible passage is part of a sermon which covers three chapters of Matthew's Gospel. It's commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, just because Jesus sat up a mountain, so if you like, teaching on the mountain. And the next verse, Jesus declares, I've not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. Now, the law and the prophets is a way of thinking about the whole of the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible as we have it in our Christian tradition today. So Jesus has come to fulfill that way of knowing about God. Now, I wonder if you've ever watched a film that has a significant plot twist at the end. And when you first watch the film, you think, I didn't see that coming. But if you go back and watch the film again, you suddenly go, oh, that turn of phrase there, that bit there, they were trying to give us hints all the way along, and we just didn't see them. For me, I think that's the kind of thing that we get when we have the Old Testament and Jesus together. The Old Testament, if you like,
you could think of a bit like having a roadmap. And then with Jesus, he's the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you like, he brings that roadmap to life. It's like having a driver in the car that tells you exactly when to turn left or right, rather than having to read a roadmap. And that's such an old, last generation thing to have to do. But you guys don't even know what a roadmap is, do you? Hang on, I've got a picture. There you go. It's a big piece of paper that has all the roads on. This one's from 1935 or something. So there's a few more roads now, in other words. And it was a nightmare, I seem to recall. Like when we first moved to London, 20 years ago, I used a London A to Z in one hand and got lost lots of times. But if the Old Testament, the plot twist is Jesus, but equally with Jesus, we get to understand the way that Jesus is pointed to in the Old Testament. So let me give you an example. Way back in Genesis, you have the story of creation and how Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they suddenly realized they were naked. And then God said, "Hey, I'm here, it's evening, can we have a chat together like we normally do, please?" And Adam and Eve hid. And eventually God created clothes for Adam and Eve. But those clothes were presumably of animal skin, and so you could argue that those animals, as sacrificial animals, were precursors to Jesus and his ultimate sacrifice in dying and taking on himself the sins of the whole world so that we don't have to die spiritually, so that we can have life without end with God for all eternity. One of the more challenging things that Jesus said in that passage we've read is this: "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, if you wanted to point to a particular group of people in Jesus' day who were pious, who did what was right, it would be the Pharisees and it would be the teachers of the law. And Jesus is effectively declaring you need to be better than them. But how can you be better than the best? It's a bit like thinking you're going to, run a mile in 3.5 minutes. At heart, we can't do it. We can't be completely righteous, and we know it. And Jesus knows it too. The only way forward is actually to trade in our broken and temporary lives for Jesus' righteousness. For Jesus, being fully God and fully human, couldn't actually rebel against himself and his ways. So he was totally, utterly, completely righteous. If righteousness is about living in right relationship with God, then being God, he had to live in right relationship with himself. Jesus, being God, then lived in right relationship with himself. And we're offered a chance to trade in our broken, self-indulgent, self-righteous lives for Jesus' righteousness. And this is what Jesus meant by, "I've come to fulfill the law." Let me put it a different way. Here's a quote from Paul. Paul's one of the leaders of the early church, and he put it this way. Oh, good. I've given you the summary. But there's still lots of words up there. Apologies. Let me read you the passage. It's from Philippians 3. "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the tribe of Israel, of the tribe, the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecutor of the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless." But Paul goes on. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I've lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may have Christ and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ,
righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So let's just put the two parts of our Bible passage the other way around, if you like. When we have faith in Jesus, then we have righteousness that comes from God. And of course, we then have great news to tell other people. That's the light that we definitely don't want to hide. So the next question is, what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? Because if we say here, but that which is through faith in Christ, faith in Jesus, then what does that mean? Here's a verse. Another verse is from another letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. It runs like this. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. I'll read the rest. For it is with your heart that you believe and you're justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So there's two conditions around faith. One is, can you say Jesus is Lord? Now, Lord is about saying and recognizing that Jesus is the one that I want to serve. Lord, Master, that kind of thing. The one I want to put as the center, the focus of my existence, rather than orientating my life around money or job promotion or health or wealth or having a fan club or many followers on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, whatever it might be, or having good times. Rather than any of those, the most important in my life is Jesus. That's what Jesus is Lord means, declaring with your mouth. And if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So, just to remind us all, Jesus came to earth, was fully God, fully human. You get the stories at Christmas of all that stuff about the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. Jesus obviously grew up and then ministered amongst the people there. So he told stories, he performed miracles, he claimed that he was the Son of God. And for that claiming, he was killed by the authorities on a cross, crucified on a Friday, and then later on the Sunday, 3 days later, all the evidence is that Jesus was raised from the dead. His tomb was empty. Nobody stole the body. Nobody produced the body that they'd stolen. Lots and lots of people claimed to see Jesus. And all of those disciples went to their deaths proclaiming that Jesus was alive again. All of those early followers of Jesus. And that's been happening for years and years and years, 2,000 years since then. And these are people that have believed in their hearts. It's not just head knowledge, it's heart. Now we know that God, we know that God knows our hearts. He doesn't just listen to the words that we have on our lips, but he knows our thoughts. So there's no pulling the wool over God's eyes. He knows what we're like. He knows whether this is just for show or whether this is actually for real. If we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and you declare with your mouth, then you will be saved. And saving is about saying, actually, I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. And God promises to put his spirit in us as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And to my mind, that is just amazing news. And something, therefore, in the words of Jesus, to light my lamp and shine it to everybody that hears it, everybody that will listen. Because God wants to spend eternity with each of us. Hallelujah. And if you're not there yet, then I need to ask you, do you need to change? Do you need to find peace? Here's how a passage in the Old Testament puts it when we come to God. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. You'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart.
and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees, my ways, and be careful to keep my laws. That's how God spoke of it in the Old Testament. And that's fulfilled in Jesus, friends. We have good news. And if that good news is already yours, tell it out. If you don't know that good news, then please let me help you to discover it. Let's pray, and then we're going to move on to a song. Father, we thank you that knowing you is good news. We thank you that knowing you brings peace. Peace because our eternal future is known and assured. Peace because you are with us in the mess of this life, as well as the joyful times. Father, we ask that you would give us courage in these days to tell out that good news, to live out that good news, to respond to that good news. Lord, have mercy, we pray.